Center for Inclusive Childcare welcomes you to Inclusion Matters. We share resources and information to support quality childcare for all children. By partnering with early childhood professionals, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, we work together to help every young child thrive. Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I am here today with a wonderful friend and colleague who is so passionate about so many good things about early childhood. And today we're going to focus on one area. Her name is Margaret Mahold, and she is the director at Calvary Early Childhood Services, or
Early Childhood Learning.
Yep. Learning, yes. And she's going to tell you a little bit more about her background, but Margaret has been with us before. She recorded a podcast with me during the pandemic, sharing about how she supported her team and families during that very challenging time in early childhood. And So welcome back, Margaret. I'm so glad you're here today.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
And we're going to talk about creative opportunities for infants and toddlers. Yay.
Yay. Yeah. No, this is I would rather talk about this than COVID any day.
Yeah. So, yes. That's for sure. And Margaret recently supported our team with some creative activities, and she was part of our ECLD retreat as well on just allowing some grown-ups to have some outlet creatively. She's very good at that and very gifted at that as well. But today we're going to focus on the little ones. So Margaret, why don't you tell us how you became so passionate about this and a little bit about your background?
So I remember a coworker lent me a book, and it was a book by Marianne F. Cole, and it's about, and her whole purpose in all of her books, and she has a whole variety of them on lots of subjects, is it's the process, not the product. And when I heard that line, I'm like, that is it. That's what it's about, for especially for like creative representation for children. It's the process, not the product. I had heard it before, but to see it in writing and then just to see it in so many different ways, I'm like, yep, that's it. But I hold that for early childhood. But then even when we did our retreat for when we were doing it with older people, it was like, I don't want you to focus on what the outcome's going to be. Let's just be present in this moment and the materials we have and what can I create using them. So I think it's something that can be used in all areas. So I was a preschool teacher for 15 years teaching with the 4 and 5 year olds who are very creative.
Yes.
But I've been a director for about the last 10 years, and we have infants and toddlers in our programming, and the concepts that work for preschoolers also work for infants and toddlers, but just in a very different way. But the same, it's the process. It's not the product. It's about, it's not about what the, and a 2-year-old doesn't go, I want to make a piece of paper and have a little something on it. You know, they're just like, paint? What? Full body. So yeah. And it's just something that's always clicked and resonated with me, and I love talking to others about it.
That's fabulous. So speaking of infants and toddlers, what are some things that you think, as you think about it, those who are listening, educators in the field doing the work day to day, what do you think they need to be reminded of when they're setting up these creative opportunities for infants and toddlers?
I would say that these need to be part of the routine. It's not something special that's saved just before a holiday. It's something that if you can incorporate it as often as possible. And for infants and toddlers, they thrive on repetition, and that's what they need. So it doesn't even have to be this big experience of like, this is going to be something new. It's we're bringing this out again, and we're going to explore it again and again and again. And that's how they're going to build mastery for other painting things, but at infant and other art things. But at infants and toddlers, it's just making it something that they're used to, not something that just comes out every once in a while. So it's normal. Is it, I would say, normalizing it in a way, or just kind of making a material that they're used to. That's just not something that they have to get overly excited about or overly.
It doesn't need to be super pre-planned, correct?
Exactly. It can just kind of happen. And the teacher doesn't have to go into it knowing what's going to come out, because that's not how we plan art experiences for children. We don't know what's going to come out. And it's how are we going to set the children up for success? Is it taking off their shirts and having them, you know, putting on a paint shirt instead because it is going to be messy? It's setting up the communication with parents. So there's the expectation of this kind of thing will be happening at school. And this is how we do it. Is that going to work for your family? Because I do have, when I tour families, I say a child that comes home that is a little messy, they had a good day. Like,
right.
So I think that's the work, is getting it set up with the parents, getting it set up with your coworkers, because it's not a one person job when it's infants and toddlers. It's the team. Everyone has a little bit of a job to do. And I think when everyone's on the same page about it, it's going to go that much better. So I think the important thing is, when there are adults involved, it's for them to be on the same page, like whether it be the two teachers or if there's extra hands coming in and helping you, but kind of making that plan before you start the project. Like, as this evolves, this is how we're going to handle it. And this is how we're going to clean up. We're going to have a little system to getting the children cleaned up from it. But we're hopefully hearing things like, but they get to do it as long as they want. It's not like they only get a minute to do it or 3 minutes to do it. And ideally in these situations, it's the children doing the manipulation, not the teachers. I see and hear about so many times, oh, look at those cute fingerprints, or look at those cute footprints and things like that. And granted, yes, adorable. But to me, that's like a factory, almost like a get the baby, put the baby's foot in ink, stamp, and then clean the baby's foot. So yeah. I don't think that the baby is getting a sensory experience out of that. I think they're getting just a little move through
the assembly line.
So I mean, it does make a great product, but at the same time, if the goal is the process, not the product,
right? So definitely,
or they all have their place. I don't want to take it away entirely.
Yeah.
I think there's room for children to be able to explore it and not just like have to do it one way and then be done. Because if I see a handprint from a toddler, I know that it's been hand over hand, and a teacher has put it down and picked it up before the toddler can swoosh it up and do their own thing in it. So,
right. Definitely. And speaking of kind of schmooshing, the sensory experience of creative art activities is so critical for young children, for those infants and toddlers. Tell us more about that.
Well, that's what it is all about, right? Like, infants and toddlers are sensory learners, and this is how they're going to learn about the world, and this is how they're going to learn about art materials. And we know that it goes from big to little, so they have to experience with their whole body before they can hold a paintbrush in their hands and paint with that. And so it's the thing, and I do kind of laugh sometimes that it's called finger painting, because I've rarely met a child that it's like a finger is going to paint. You know, it's the whole body experience. And here at our center, a couple times a year, and I hope they can do it more, but it's also, it has to be like perfect timing. The babies are down to their diapers and they're on a big piece of paper and they get to experience paint. And a 4 month old has a very different experience than a 6 month old who can sit and do that kind of painting.
Right.
And a 6 month old has a very different experience than the 1 year old who has so much more control over their body. And, but just giving them that freedom is a big to do. And I think, again, if we can just keep doing it, it's not going to be as big of a to-do for the child. It's going to be like, oh, yes, I get this material again, and this is what I'm going to do this time. And I know that children that have had these sensory experiences in the infant and toddler classrooms, then they go on to the preschool rooms, and they're the ones that are able to go to the easel and take a paintbrush out of the paint cup and paint on the easel.
Yeah.
But when we have those children that come in that haven't had that experience beforehand, what are they doing at the easel? They're using their hands. Yes. They're painting their arms. They're painting their bellies. They're doing all those things because I think it's a natural progression that they have to go through all of those. And so when we have early and often experiences, even in art, there's going to be benefits to it later on.
Oh.
I have different sometimes when I look at kindergarten readiness, and in our classrooms, we talk about our like 4 and 5 year olds when they paint a rainbow using all 6 colors. We're like, oh, they're ready for kindergarten.
That's really such a great reminder, is just early often exposure and a progression, which is so key to how children learn and grow. It's that developmental pathway that goes along their lifetime. And all of us are still developing those skills and tools and abilities as we get to be grownups. And so when you think about too, you alluded to this a little bit earlier on in our conversation about adults' roles in this, and just kind of that idea of just letting it happen. Can you like kind of walk us through a beautiful interaction that would create some examples for our listeners to be like, oh, that's how it's supposed to look.
I'm sure. Absolutely. I was just recently in one of our toddler classrooms, and granted, it was a little bit lower day, so there was not as many children. I think that also has to be in the conversation of how many children you have doing an activity, and if you can keep it to a smaller group, not having 12 or 14 all at the same time sometimes. But sometimes you have 12 and 14, and that's fun too.
Yeah.
But recently, the project, because we're recording this in the fall, was painting pumpkins. And so they had paintbrushes out and a little bit of red paint and some orange paint. And they were painting pumpkins. And that, again, it wasn't like painting faces or anything like that. It was like, what happens to paint on a pumpkin? And so they were giving that a try. And they did that, but the children just were not done. They didn't want to leave the table. And so the teacher ended up, she quick cut the top of the pumpkin off because they were just little ones. And then she filled the pumpkin up with some paint. Oh. And so then it became the paint cup. And so the children were just like, yes, more paint. And then she grabbed some paper because you always have to be ready for all those things, having like the extras and the add-ons. She grabbed paper. And so then it went from a painting a pumpkin activity to painting from a pumpkin activity. And there was some like pumpkin stuff in the paint, because it was painting a pumpkin. And some children filled the page, others just did a couple things. And then, but when they had enough, they were able to walk away when they're like, this is good for me, I'm done now. Yeah. But we always have that one or two that are just, there's never going to be enough, I think. And I got to watch the one little guy that just stayed, and he filled up his piece of paper that he had, and then he got another. And then he flipped his paper over and started painting the back of the paper. And what I just so appreciated was that the teacher wasn't like, oh, no, we'd only paint on this side. Or, oh, no. She just went, oh, you want to put some paint on the back of that paper, too. And just kind of was talking through what he was doing.
Yeah.
And so was just kind of using encouraging words like, oh, look at what you're doing. And then as children were leaving the table, he was collecting the paintbrushes. And so by the end, he had three in each hand. And again, that teacher just went, oh, now you have all the paintbrushes. And he was using both hands and doing like swirls with two hands. And so no one was setting out for that when they said they were going to paint pumpkins in the morning.
Right.
But it turned into like a really beautiful art experience. And I sometimes wonder, well, like we see these children on Instagram in 10 years making fake art projects. And then we can say we inspired them with pumpkin painting, back in the day. And so I was so impressed at that moment that the teacher just was not stressed out, because some mess stresses some people out.
Yeah.
And again, she was just letting the child take the lead and see where it went from there. And that's what turned it into a really rich and meaningful experience. And I think that's where memories come from. Like, I don't remember being a kid and like what worksheet I did or, you know, something like that. But when I got to have all the paint, or I got to like, have a piece of paper that's as big as me, and I got to paint that using my arms and my feet and my knees. Like, how great is that?
Yeah. So how can educators in the early childhood realm help these be successful? You said some things that, truly open-ended preparation. But when you think about all that goes into creative experiences, how can you set kids up for success and yourself as the teacher in that situation or the provider in that situation who's creating that experience?
Yeah, I think it is like a mindset of the teacher that they're going to be willing to do these kind of things. Like, they just have, and it's going to be great. Power of some positive thinking, and being open to where the process takes them. So I think there's that preparation that they need ahead of time, or maybe they realize it again through the process of things like that. And doing the projects over and over again, it gets easier for them, and they kind of can learn the cues of the children and where they're going to take it. I think just always being open to being like, it's a beautiful day outside today. Could we take a big piece of paper outside and do some painting out there? I think something else with infants and toddlers that we haven't quite touched on, I don't think it's about worrying that each individual child has a piece of paper and something to take home.
Oh,
like,
nice.
It can still be a really great experience, even if there's no physical proof of that experience, that maybe the proof would be a picture or something like that.
Yeah.
But for toddlers, because like we were talking about before, they all kind of want to do it at the same time. Like if they see someone doing it, they're going to want to do it. And so if you can cover your table with a big piece of paper and just have those materials, and then that's also working on social and emotional skills with toddlers, like, you know, defining space and saying, oh, you're a little too close to me, or just, yeah, getting along with a friend who also has a paintbrush next to me and they might be in my space. So I think that, and again, the more we do it and the more we allow children to have those experiences, going from big group experiences down to those little experiences that they can do individualized later. So I think just the preparation is being open, if that makes sense.
No, I love that. And I think, too, you also mentioned this a little bit earlier when you were talking about giving families tours. And I do think that equipping ourselves with the responses when the products aren't there, because we do, we have families wondering what's happening all day. What are you guys doing? And when things come home, they can kind of go, oh, well, part of the day, they clearly used a lot of glitter. But, you know, how do you explain that in the, you know, early days of enrollment as you're starting this relationship with a family and that communication piece to really help them understand your philosophy?
Exactly. And I do, during tours, I talk about that we are a process-based center and kind of what things they'll see. And I said, when children are younger, like, you're going to see things and go, oh, what is that? Like, there isn't, there's not a clear, like, what that is. And so then we also talk about how asking open-ended questions with older children. But again, with those younger children, the infants and toddlers, I'm telling families, and I heard it at a conference one point long ago, that art is not a receipt for care.
Oh,
that a child can have a good day, but maybe not come home with a piece of something.
Wow.
And I've kind of clutched onto that art is not a receipt for care. Like, you can, there's so many different opportunities that they have during the day for creative representation, because even just talking about creative experiences, it's not all just art. Like, they might have built a tower and that is amazing. Yeah. And so, like, snapping that picture, that is what they're being creative with today. They're singing a new song and they're trying different vocal levels and things like that. That's a creative representation. So it's not just limited to paint and paper. And I think I have been talking a lot about paint, but I don't know if we want to talk about like other materials.
Absolutely. Yes.
And kind of like the progression of them. Because again, we have like these standard art materials that are typical in early childhood. We have our crayons, we have our markers, we have our paint, and they're not new to us, but they're always new to children.
Yeah.
So they've never experienced a crayon before. They've never experienced, you know, those things before. And we get, for the littler the child, it's the bigger the item, right? So like littler children have bigger crayons. But when they first get a crayon, of course they're going to hit with it, or of course they're going to like pound it on the paint. Yeah, because that's what you do to find out what these things are.
Yeah.
And again, we have to be okay with that. Like, and it's not wrong for them to do that. Like, it's not a nope. It's, or let's try it on the paper instead, or let's try this instead.
Yeah.
And once they've found crayons, or if there's like, there's now like dot markers, all those things that you can use for toddlers, you also have to be equipped that if you're going to have them in your environment, they're going to want to use them.
Yeah.
And so how do you set your environment up in a way that is conducive to that? So do you have to cover up a couple walls with some paper down low? Do you have to put paper on your table? And maybe not even just the table you're doing art at. You might need to put a piece of paper over the sensory table or things like that, because it's going to be fascinating. Like, if it works on this piece of paper over here, is it going to work over here on the wall too? And if I can skittle away before someone sees me, I am going to take that crayon to the wall. We all know that. So it's also setting up and the easel in the classroom and things like that. So having them have experience writing on a flat surface, having them experience writing on a bumpy surface, if you go out and do like go on the sidewalk, or put a piece of paper, a big piece of paper on a tree out in your playground and let them experiment using crayons that way. So it's not just an inside activity either. Take it outside when you can. But understanding children as we are in our field, like understanding that there's a progression to it and we have to let children develop those skills. And the only way they can develop those skills is through mastery. And they only build mastery through trying it again and again and again and again. So yeah, just having that opportunity to do it again and again and again. So I look at, when I talk to my teachers about like lesson planning, I don't necessarily need to know what project they're going to do on Thursday, but what material are you introducing to your children at this time? You know, so if crayons are something that's new, like the young toddler room, so they're out on Monday at the table, they're out on Tuesday at the easel, they're out on Thursday taking them outside, because they just need that exposure to them over and over and over again.
Oh, that's such a beautiful way to wrap up this conversation. Margaret, I thank you for your expertise and for the joy that I know you have brought to so many children with your easy and open manner of acceptance and just fostering their creative juices. You provide kids with, and I've seen it firsthand because I've known you for a long time and I've had the opportunity to observe you in action. And I just think that for all of you out there who are doing this type of work every day with these creative opportunities for kids, we applaud you because it is 100%. Because it may look like, you know, some days it may look like a big mess, but that big mess has profound meaning for that child, every child in that setting long term. So,
And all the learning that's happening through just, it's not just anything, right? All that learning that's happening in that moment is essential. And it's just joy fulfilling. Yes. Like, how can you be sad when you're around a child that realizes what a crayon does?
Like, I know.
That's amazing. Because, I mean, they're just in this constant, like, stage of wonder. Like, oh, I did not know it could do that. That's amazing. So to just enjoy those moments is very special. And it's an honor and a privilege to do that with children. So I hope people realize that.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Margaret Mahold, for being here with me, for taking the time away from your busy job as a director. I know that you probably have people standing outside your door right now in your office wondering, what is she doing and why is the door closed? But I appreciate you taking the time to share your expertise with us, and I look forward to having you back on other topics in the near future.
Sounds good. Thank you, Priscilla.
All right. Thanks for listening to all of you out there. And as always, if you want more information on any of these topics or links to other things, go to our website, inclusivechildcare.org. And thanks for being a part of our audience on Inclusion Matters. For more information and a wide range of resources, visit inclusivechildcare.org. You'll find information on our coaching services and support on topics such as healthy child development, strategies for encouraging positive behavior, and guidance on including children with unique social, emotional, and learning needs, and much more.